Take a quick trip into Kaka'ako and you'll notice something different. On Cook Street, several of the buildings shed their faded industrial shades and now sport bright colors, graphics, graffiti, even murals that seem to represent a new vision for the area. A little something for everyone. Unless that something is a handful of high-rises and a district designation as the third city. Even so, the Hawaii Community Development Authority says the community will stay true to its roots. HCDA Executive Director Anthony Ching joins us now. Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
It's just with the small cosmetic stuff that's happened, it has a fresher feel to it, which is just a foretaste of what you expect to happen in the area. Would it be fair to characterize it as a place attracting, you know, the fun and the young?
Well, most certainly. I mean, recent events, we have a concert venue that's very active, and it's a place for people to get out and about and without, I guess, the restrictions at the other locations. We have Eat the Streets, which is, and the art scene, which is an opportunity for entrepreneurs to do pop-up types of activities. And I think that's a true indication of the vitality, a growing vitality of the area, that you have that kind of pop-up interest. They're testing it and seeing that, is this something that can be sustained?
But it's more than that, too, because people are looking to live there. And that obviously we've had a movement that's been afoot on the mainland for a long time of live, work, play in the same area and be able to, you know, jettison your car, walk around, bike, all those good things that that Complete Streets is trying to accomplish in some ways. But you're also talking about having to build more densely populated areas to accommodate those people.
Yes, certainly. It's been a mandate for the agency to have to realize the density that's logical there. Because if real estate location, 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 then we certainly have the location. You said live, work, play. So we can play there with the parks and proximity to other facilities. We can certainly work in the region because it's but a 10, 12-minute walk in some cases or a quick bus ride. There's many ways to utilize that convenience. So people are realizing that. There's a pent-up demand, and I believe that you'll see the proof in that developers and the state itself will be looking to establish new construction, which will allow more people to live here.
Which means you're talking high rises, which have some people very skittish. But the question would remain, what else would you necessarily do with that if you didn't have the high rise? If it would just have to stay pretty much the way things are now. You might have some of the businesses, but not necessarily the ability to live there.
You certainly need that critical mass of people. And, you know, the development that we envision, our TOD plan, it envisions different types of building typology. And what that says is you don't just have to build towers in order to accommodate the people living there, that you might have different housing types, very efficient, double-loaded mid-rise towers, townhouses. I think you'll see a resurgent of that particular building type because it's something that people will also want, variety in housing options.
The townhouse part and the low-rise, though, means that you're going to top off and only be able to have a certain amount of people who can be in there, whereas if you build a tower, you can put a lot more people into that area, especially if you're looking at trying to grow the area, as it's been growing in the last couple of years. But if you're looking to get it to up to 30,000 or so, which have been the projections, don't you have to have towers?
Yes, towers are certainly very efficient. We have examples where our Plan 690 Pokokaina, the administration's initiative there, is on its way to delivering 1,000 units there. If you were to construct 1,000 units in a typical suburban form, you would be taking up that same type of development, perhaps 300 acres, and the attendant new infrastructure that you'd have to put into place. So certainly in Kaka'ako, high-rise towers make sense for the footprint and to take advantage of the existing infrastructure that has been developed in anticipation of this very growth.
So what do you say to the people who are really concerned that somehow this is going to so change the, you know, the site plan, it's going to so change the way they regard Kaka'ako, and outplace a lot of the smaller businesses and the character that has come to define the area?
You know, change is a little difficult. We have a light industrial setting, and you have pockets of residential developments there. I think what you'll see, though, is that there will be a variety. There'll be a vibrancy. We have an allowance already in our city that we can build up to 400-foot heights. And so I believe that you'll see, again, a variety. These towers are necessarily designed to be taller and more slender with the different types that you will have of buildings. I think you'll have, again, variety in terms of the skyline. So it's not like we're trying to create a wall. In any case, I think you'll find that in examining many of the current development proposals, that you'll see that the developers are very sensitive to view perspectives and look to turn their buildings skinny side on Mauka Makai. So there's many things that's underway that I think will, we'll still realize the density, but I think you'll see that it can unfold in a way that actually benefits all of us in terms of street life, in terms of the skyline and the design that's produced.
Without turning us into another Manhattan, but looking at the kind of infrastructure that you have in Kaka'ako versus if you're all the way up the line, or depending upon which way you look at it, in East Honolulu, you have a little bit better situation. So you're not as concerned with being able to meet the needs of all of those new buildings and with all of the claims on that infrastructure?
Kaka'ako has been long envisioned to be the location for new residential development. So the agency's mandate has been to prepare the area by developing infrastructure. So the pipes in the ground existing, we have some confidence because we put them there, that they are sufficient to accommodate the anticipated growth. There's still a bit more to be done, and there's coordination as the city does improvements to the Sand Island Wastewater Treatment Center, as well as the force mains that service all of East Honolulu and run through Kaka'ako.
But the bottom line for you, and perhaps for all of us especially, is that we're going to have to get over the idea that there can't be development in Kaka'ako that makes it look different from what it is now. I mean, that's what I hear you saying, is that we're going to have to change our mindset.
I think life in the city, yes, will change mindset as to what the American dream is. No white picket fence in suburban sprawl, that it will be a urban lifestyle.
Some airspace.
Yes. That urban lifestyle does not mean that you sacrifice livability or just your quality of life, because you will have much the same conveniences. I think it will be in a manner in which you can make choices and that, again, allow you to live, work, and play in a community environment.
Well, with the pent-up demand that we've seen happen with other buildings where they've been gone in a snap, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Kaka'ako, and we'll be watching. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Anthony Ching is the Executive Director of the Hawaii Community Development Authority. The HCDA's Kaka'ako plan includes low and high rises for mixed incomes and uses, including living, work, restaurants, retail, entertainment, and green spaces. You can find the plan at hpr2.org.